Each year, we have an opportunity to discern our call. We might be called to use our time and resources in a new way as we respond to God's grace. Or maybe our current call will be confirmed as God affirms what we are already doing and renews our spirit. Let's discover together. Who cares?
We've been in this worship series that you can ask that question in a couple different ways, like, oh, who cares? Or who cares? And we've been asking that question the second way. Who cares? Well, we care. I want to do a little plug for our podcast this week. I'll be sharing that podcast with you. We'll be showing our National Bishop's message to the ELCA churches, and then also a word for me about what we're doing here at Prince of Peace to help those who are in need. So I invite you to do that. Words matter. Words matter. I remember there are times in my life when I would say something, and right when it came out, I'm like, can I get that back? Can I get that back? Well, my wife and I experienced something similar. 2 years ago, we were in Europe. That sounds amazing. We were there for not that often, for that long. But we decided that we were going to try to at least eat in one nice restaurant for every city we were in. And so we found a nice restaurant when we were in Prague. And it's one of those restaurants where it's at the top of a tower and it rotates, and it was just amazing. And we kind of dressed up a little bit, and it was really great food. And, you know, we're just having a great time. And I begin to emote because I'm such a romantic. Why are you laughing? You can ask her. No, don't ask her. And I grab her hand, and I'm telling her how much I love her, what a wonderful trip this is, and I'm so glad that we're doing this together. And I'm holding her hand, and she looks at me, she goes, you make me want to vomit. Is that about right, babe? It's about right. Well, that's the way I heard it. And it turns out that my wife is in this time of life. Where occasionally she'll get these things we call hot flashes. Can I say that? Okay, all right. Kind of know what this is once you get to, you know, certain ages. And she had a hot flash, and she's sitting there, and I'm holding her hand with my clammy, sweaty, warm hand. And she's like, I just don't feel good. This is not making me feel good. So we kind of laughed it off, and we still laugh about it today. And you know, she said those words, and I hold her accountable to them. And now you've heard them as well, so we can all join in the fun. But what we say matters. What we say can bring a word of kindness. It can bring a word that may be not so kind. And we can live in the tension. Well, it also happens that the words we say online matter as well. And one of the things that we were trying to do for our kids is to let them know anything you put online, anything you put on social media is going to be there forever. So think carefully. Think carefully before you put something online, especially what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. So we're trying to teach our kids to do that. And one day, my wife and I decided we were going to go out to on a date. We go on lots of dates, guys. I'm just telling you. We go on some dates, and so we're going on a date that afternoon, and we're driving out of our neighborhood, and there's a car that was pulling into a driveway kind of next to our house, and they didn't see us. And they kind of hit us in the side and sideswiped us. We have a little dent, and nobody was hurt. No, nothing was bad, just hurt, you know, hurt feelings from the person who drove into us. We changed numbers. We go back home. We tell our daughter, she's about 8 at the time, hey, we're leaving. We came back. We're leaving. You guys will be fine. There's a little car accident, but everything's okay. So we leave, and we go to the restaurant. All of a sudden, we start getting texts from friends of ours that also are parents of the friends of, or the parents of friends of my daughter. They're like, is Hallie doing okay? Is Hallie okay? Is something wrong? And we're like, what is going on? Why are her friends' parents texting us? So we call her and everything's fine. She says, no, everything's good. We're like, okay, that's weird. So we get home and we're talking to her and all of a sudden we get another text, and it's a text from another mom. And it just so happens that my really creative daughter had decided to take this little fender bender and turn it into a movie. So she painted her face with makeup, the whole thing. She's like in a bloody, you know, Halloween costume or whatever. And she did all this stuff. And I, you know, it's one of these faces that your kids make. I'm telling you, kids, parents know this. When you know you screwed up, they know that you know you screwed up, you get a look on your face. I'm just going to let you know that. I got that look on my face when I was a kid, and I showed the picture to my daughter, and she got this face, just went down. She goes, uh-oh. Now, I had two reactions. One I shared out loud, and one I didn't share until years later. My initial reaction on the inside was like, that's amazing. Like, how did you even think of doing that? It's so cool. Like, oh man, I am impressed with your creativity. I'm so impressed about how you did all that. Okay, now that's my inside. Now here's my outside dad voice. Don't do that. Here's the thing. That's gonna be out there forever, right? What you say matters, even online. And she was crestfallen, and I said, your friends are worried about you right now because of what you said. And I said, what you need to do is you need to go to all of your friends that you sent this text to. You need to, don't text them, call them back and tell them that you're sorry. But on the inside, I'm like, let's make a movie. What we say can bring a word of kindness. What we say can be an unkind word. And what we can say, what we sometimes say to others is makes other people feel uncomfortable. Sometimes what we say to others, they start to worry about us. Well, God is gonna say a couple of very important things to two characters in scripture. Dale read them this morning. The first one is from the book of Samuel. God is going to call Samuel to go to this young shepherd boy and anoint him as king. And when God says those words, when God uses those words through Samuel to anoint the shepherd boy as king, everything changes for him. He is no longer a shepherd boy, even though he's got rugged good looks. He's no longer a shepherd boy. Now he's on a different path. He's on a path that's been anointed for him to be king. Now he doesn't become king immediately, but what does happen immediately is everything changes for him and he becomes the one person in the whole Israelite army that can take down the strongest Goliath soldier in that part of the world. Everything changes. And we're going to walk through David's life. He didn't do everything perfectly. He made lots of mistakes. But he became not a shepherd boy, but a shepherd of a nation. The second story is the story of Transfiguration. It's Transfiguration weekend, where Jesus goes up to the mountain with his disciples, some of them, and he is anointed. He has this anointing. God says these words, "This is my son. I'm well pleased with him. Do what he says." Now, did Jesus need that kind of anointing for his own life and his own ministry? Not really sure. He's already moved down a path of ministry where he believes he's doing what God is calling him to do. Who needed to hear those words? His disciples. The disciples of Jesus needed to hear the words, "This is my son." The person that you're following, the one that is putting you in harm's way, the one who's putting himself in harm's way, is my son. Do what he says. And at first, they fear. They cower with fear. but do as I say. And Jesus says, do not fear. And they get up and they go about the hard business of being Jesus' disciple. They were anointed by hearing the words from God. Now, it's easy for us to say, well, we can leave that anointing in the past because, of course, we're not King David, and of course, we're not Jesus, but we are anointed. We've been anointed in our baptism. We've been called children of God. We've been baptized in the name of God. We are anointed to be about something bigger than just ourselves. It could be little things. It could be big things. A number of years ago, I found a butcher. He worked in a local grocery store here, and I got to know him, and we started talking, and he got to know my name, my family's name, what I do, what my family does, and every time I walk by that counter, even if I wasn't going to stop, he would yell out, hey, Paul, it's good to see you. How's your family? Now, he wasn't just a butcher. Now, I would love to be a butcher. He was more than that. He was anointed. He was anointed in a way that when he used his words, it was all about encouraging and helping others feel comfortable. He was anointed to help others that they have a name, that they're known. Now, I don't think he went through training for that. I just think that's his response to his anointing at the font when he was a child. Now, over the years, I got to kind of watch him because I'm like, how is this? What's going on with this guy? How does he feel so called to be this kind of way in the world? And I realized it wasn't just me he was connected with. It was everybody that came to the counter, and I got jealous. It's my butcher. Leave him alone. There'd be 10 people deep waiting for him, just him. Not the other ones, him. Because they knew, everybody knew that he was going to share a kind word. A kind word to strangers. Anointed. I kind of have a second office. It's a little bit embarrassing to say that, but I kind of have a little second office. It's at a local establishment that's down the street here, and I've gotten to know all the servers, and I've gotten to know all the people that are there working. They're all in their mid-20s, maybe early 30s, and I knew the manager there, and the manager died suddenly last year of a heart attack, and I kind of feel myself as being the pastor of this staff. And I even gave him my number and email and said, if you guys ever need to talk to a pastor about anything, let me know. So when I go in there, they greet me by name. I greet them by name. They greet my wife by name. They greet the people I'm with. And I was there for a meeting a while ago. And the meeting's over. I'm still sitting there. I'm writing some things down. And one of the servers comes in and he looks at me and he stops. And they all know what I do. We've had some deep conversations before. And he stops and he looks at me and he goes, how you doing? And I go, the standard Minnesota answer, which is, I'm fine, good. I think that's a standard human answer, by the way. Then he looks at me, he goes, how are you doing? And in the context of all of this that's going on in our state and in our country, I realize he's asking me how I'm doing being brown in America right now. And I said, it's different. I mean, it's never been easy being brown in America, but there's a different layer for this now, for us. I said, my son travels back and forth from work with his passport. We dug my passport out of the safe. I know where it is. I should probably have it with me more than I do. And he's just sitting there and he goes, yeah, it's really hard. And he goes, you know, I struggle with what to do. He goes, I'm not a protester. I'm not going to protest. He goes, but we wanted a response somehow. And he's living with a bunch of unmarried guys. It's like a bachelor pad. And they're all in their mid-20s. And he said, we realized that our neighbors weren't, we didn't see our neighbors for a while. And finally, one of them went over to just to check and see what was going on. Well, these are people who lived in the United States for 50 years. They're United States citizens, but they're brown and they're worried about leaving their house. And he goes, well, we decided we got our other neighbors together and we go buy them food and we drop the groceries off at their house. We have a rotation. And I looked at him and I said, Ethan, you're anointed. You are anointed. Now, none of these servers have been in church. One actually used to go here a long time ago. He remembers Swin. Anybody remember Swin? Yeah, little Swin. But they haven't, most of them haven't been in church their whole lives, and many of them haven't been back to church since probably they were in Sunday school. And I used a church word, anointed. And he looked at me, and he leaned over, and he put his arms on the table, and I was at a high top. He's standing up, and he put his arms on the high top, and he goes, well, what does that mean? And I said, Ethan, it means that you are called by God to be about God's purpose. And you may not know it. You may not even say the word God. You may not even pray. But God is using you for God's purpose. You may not know what you're doing. You may not know what to do. But God has anointed you. Now, I don't know if Ethan's ever been baptized, but he's acting like he's been baptized. I should ask him that. I'm going to be there this week. I want to tell you, I want to speak a word into your life today. I want to make a proclamation. You are anointed. Whether it's just sending a kind word to others or whether it's taking the time out of your day to see what your neighbor is up to and then bringing a neighborhood together to help your fellow human being. We just gathered in this space this past week. And if you're living in a world where you've lost a little bit of hope, in this space last week, this whole church was anointed and is anointed to feed people. And we had Feed My Starving Children. And if you've lost hope, if you're not sure if the anointed ones are still active and moving in this world, I think this video might change your mind. Let's take a look. So I want to recap for us about our event that we had. This is the South Metro Meal Pack. Here are the numbers of what you guys did this week. Over these last week, you guys packed 691,000 meals, and that feeds almost 1,900 kids a year. It's 1,900 kids who are facing starvation right now. And because of the anointed ones that are gathered together, those kids will survive. They will live. We've been doing the South Metro Meal Pack for the past 12 years. And here are the numbers from these past 12 years. Almost 24 million meals and about 65,000 kids have been eating this food. 65,000 kids have life because of what you have done. If you don't feel hope in your bones right now, I don't know what will give you hope. 65,000 kids are alive and have a future because of what you've been doing. You are anointed. Live as the anointed ones. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you gather us in this space with one another, that we are called to live out the gospel. We're called to live your will in this world. We thank you for the opportunity to be your hands and your feet in our everyday lives, whether it's just a simple kind word to one another or whether or not you organize a whole neighborhood to care for your neighbors. We thank you for the opportunity to respond out of the baptismal covenant that you make with us. Baptism wasn't just something that happened to us years ago, but it's something that guides us each and every day. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to give an offering, whether, God, we give an offering through automatic or online giving or through the QR code or whether you give it in the bags this morning. You are calling the anointed ones to continue to live out the mission and vision that you've placed in all of us here at Prince of Peace. Lord God, we ask all this in your wonderful and amazing and anointing name. Amen.